Like a disgraced athlete after a multi-game suspension, the oil company BP is back to contracting with the U.S. government.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Environmental Protection Agency has just signed off on a deal with BP. As soon as next week, the company will be allowed to bid on leases to drill for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. BP's been banned from doing that since 2012, following that massive oil spill about 4 years ago. Marketplace's David Gura joins us now. Good morning.
Morning, David.
So what exactly will BP now be able to do?
Well, next week, the Interior Department's going to auction off leases for about 40 million acres, and that auction's going to take place in New Orleans at the Superdome, as a matter of fact.
That's quite an auction.
Exactly. Now, BP hasn't said it's going to bid on any of those leases, but under this new agreement, the company could, if it wanted to. And this deal is about 45 pages long, and basically what the company's agreed to is that if it bids on new leases in the Gulf, it'd have to allow for more monitoring of its operations and, among other things, hire an independent auditor.
And how important is this for BP's bottom line?
Well, look, it's not as if after the Deepwater Horizon spill, BP closed up shop in the Gulf. It's running almost a dozen rigs there. The company still has more than 2,000 employees on its payroll, and I think many of them, it's safe to say, are lawyers. BP's paid $3 billion-plus in fines and penalties so far, and a big civil suit is still ongoing. But the company stands to make millions of dollars if they can reestablish themselves in the Gulf, and a BP executive said that this deal is, in his words, fair and reasonable, and the company's announced that it plans to spend close to $40 billion there over the next decade.
Marketplace's David Gura, thank you.
Thank you.
SpaceX has scheduled a launch of a rocket on Sunday to resupply the International Space Station. NASA is more reliant than ever on private space companies, and there are many other business opportunities in space these days, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The rich are flocking to space to invest in things like rockets to ferry space station supplies or space tourism and asteroid mining. Howard McCurdy teaches science and technology policy at American University. He says researchers are even working on space garbage collectors.
For little Pac-Men that can go up and eat orbital debris.
But space investing is for real. It's not a video game. It takes years to make any profit. There are huge technological challenges. Hence the joke going around investor circles. How do you become a new space millionaire? Start off as a billionaire.
It's hard to say who's going to be successful and who's not.
Roger Lanius is Associate Director for Collections at the National Air and Space Museum. He says if you can establish yourself and get NASA as a customer, you have a cushion.
That helps. It allows you a little breathing space.
So you can keep shooting for the moon or Mars. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This new farm bill tries to save money by cutting SNAP, what used to be called America's food stamp program. $8.6 billion over 10 years is the projected savings, in part by restricting something known as heat and eat, an extra credit for low-income people who pay for their electric and heating bills. Critics in Congress called that a loophole, but now at least six states are working around cuts to SNAP by tweaking their heat and eat programs. Kate Davidson reports.
Here's what the heat and eat states realized years ago. Give people token heating assistance, even a dollar a year, and SNAP recognized them as paying utilities, whether or not they actually did. That's an expense which triggered more in food stamps. The new farm bill raised that minimum help to $20, which was bad news for Barbara Skinner in Philadelphia.
There was nothing that I could really do about it, so I just left it in the hands of God, you know.
Without heat and eat, the 70-year-old would lose most of her remaining food stamps. Remember, SNAP benefits already fell last year. We don't know if God intervened, but Republican Governor Tom Corbett certainly did.
I was elated. If I didn't have the benefits of SNAP, if I wanted to buy a pair of stockings for church or something, it would be a hardship.
Corbett and the Democratic governors of New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Montana, and Oregon have all said to Congress, we'll see your $20, Congress. Now, by spending $19 million in mostly federal low-income energy assistance, the states say they'll preserve $951 million in SNAP benefits.
There's nothing loophole-ish about it.
Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy.
They wrote a law, and we acted accordingly to protect the families of Connecticut.
Governors are doing what I would do, too, if I had the fiduciary responsibility, but it's sneaky.
Norm Ornstein is with the American Enterprise Institute. He says SNAP is underfunded, but these workarounds by some states just give fodder to those who want to damage or eliminate the program.
Congress will be tempted the next time around to set the bar much, much higher. They may hurt needed food stamp recipients, and they may hurt people who need additional heating oil assistance.
Not long ago, House Republicans tried to cut $40 billion out of food stamps. That's a much different picture than the $8.6 billion in cuts states are unraveling now. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
And all that shale oil shipped by rail out of North Dakota and Montana is reportedly causing snarls for other industries that rely on the railroad. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting that all the tankers of oil, plus bad winter weather, have backed up the BNSF railway. Grain, sugar, coal are getting hit, with some coal plants down to reserves of just a few days. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.